Okay, we'll do this like we do every year, and go issue by issue, and no questions until we finish a issue. There's a better word for it, I can't think of it now. Okay. Subject, that's a good one. Topic, good. Go topic by topic, and when we finish a topic, then I'll take questions. And there's not going to be any great chidushim unless my memory is bad, and I think I said something last year, and otherwise it'll be pretty much the same as it was last year, the year before that, or whatever, since Pesach is pretty much the same every year also. Okay. Right. Okay, let's start with the basics of what you have to clean. Okay, first of all, any place that you are closing up completely and that it is segregated, isolated, for instance, a cabinet, that you're closing up the whole cabinet, not just one shelf of it, you don't have to clean it out at all. You can leave it, crumbs, everything you're closing up, pots, pans, that you don't plan to use. You don't have to scrub the pots and pans. You don't even have to clean out the cabinet. You can leave it, close it up, and whatever's there is sold to the goy. If you want to clean it, that's very nice. If you want to clean your screens, it's also nice. I once had a woman call me Erev Pesach frantic, that she just realized that she forgot to clean her screens. She wanted to know if she could have the Seder in the room where the screens weren't cleaned. So I told her, unless you eat on the screens, right, you could have it this year, but next year make sure that you clean the screens first, because I didn't want her to think that if that's okay, then you could eat chametz too on Pesach. But in any case, so do the things that you have to do first, and leave the things that you don't have to do for last. Okay. If, however, the area is not going to be isolated, segregated, then you should clean it out or whatever, and so you don't come to, by mistake, opening it up or what's it called, getting into there and coming to perhaps eat chametz. Okay. And therefore, if you are leaving your house for the entire Pesach, you're not going to be back, or you're closing off rooms. You just have to close them off and sell them with your chametz. Preferably, you should sell them on the 13th, before the Chiyuv of Bedika takes place, and there are places in Kiryat Sefer that make a sale on the 13th, that is a hiddur. L'halacha, though, you can rely on the opinion that says that you can even sell it on the 14th, and since your intention is to sell it, the Chiyuv of Bedika doesn't come on you the night before, even though the sale is not till the next day. Okay. Okay, what do you have to clean? So if the place could possibly have chametz, that's a kezayis, which is about a slice of bread, right? Then if there that amount of chametz could be in the place, then you have to definitely search the place, and searching means now clean it out well, make sure that there's no chametz of that amount. If the, and it doesn't make a difference if it's dirty or unless it's totally not edible even for an animal. But even if it's dirty or whatever, if it's it's possible there's a size of a, even a half a slice of a large slice of bread, there you have to really clean out the area. If the only thing that could possibly be there are crumbs, less than the size of a good half a slice of big bread, right, like in Sfarim, or in other places in pockets, as long as you don't carry your sandwich in your pockets or whatever, but the most could be crumbs or little pieces of crackers or whatever, and it's dirtied, especially if you already washed those clothes from the last time that you wore it, and they haven't been worn since then, with a chance of chametz being in them, then you don't have to search those places. You don't have to clean those places. If the only thing that could be there is chametz less than a kezayis, and it is not totally unedible, but it's dirty where nobody would really eat it. It's not unedible, but it is not not attractive to eat. Then you, what you call, don't have to bother cleaning out those places. Again, if you want to, that's fine. Places that are hard to get to, that are impossible to get to. Crevices, cracks in areas that you can't put your hand into and it's almost impossible to get to. Or areas behind things that are too heavy to move and that you don't move them regularly. Unless some takola happens and you have to move it to fix it or something like that. But on a regular basis, you don't move it. Right, an aron that's against the wall that conceivably could be moved, but you never move it. You don't have to worry what's behind there. You just samech on bitul chametz, and that's it. Even if you know that there's chametz behind there, but it's impossible to get to. Appliances and things that you do move, furniture that you do move from time to time, even if it's difficult, but you move it. I would say if you move it even once a month. Then you have to move it and clean behind it. Okay. Areas that are hard to get to, but you conceivably could get to there, then like in the refrigerator or whatever, you could just pour bleach into those cracks and crevices and make whatever's there inedible, and that's good enough. Okay, so like we said, you have to also clean out your car. And Leil Bedikas Chametz, you have to search the car too. You should do it after you search your house with the same bracha that you made on the house. Immediately go into the car afterwards. Things that you're going to sell, we said, you have to, what's it called? You don't have to clean them. You can just put them away, lock them up, and sell whatever's on them together with the kelim themselves. You don't sell the kelim anyway. You just sell the chametz that's in them. Toys, high chairs, benchers. If you either have to clean them well because they're full of chametz and it's caked on usually with children's toys or whatever. The high chair, we'll see later how to kasher the tray. But those kind of things are very difficult to clean, and you shouldn't. You put all the benches you use during the year away and use haggadahs that are Pesach dik for benching or whatever, for smiras. Sfarim. We hold that you don't have to check through all your sfarim, because most could be in there is crumbs that are really not attractive to eat. However, svarim that you're going to bring to the table while you eat and use those svarim you should go through page by page or shake it out or whatever, make sure there's no crumbs there. Because then already the chance that the crumbs will come out of the safer and fall into the food are a real possibility. So those svarim that you know you're going to bring to the table, you should check before Pesach. And svarim that you didn't check, that you did use when you ate during the year, you shouldn't bring to the table on Pesach. Okay. You don't have to wash your carpets. Just vacuuming it. Regular vacuuming. You don't have to get on your knees and pick out every crumb or whatever. Regular vacuuming is good. And if there are crumbs left, they are not the kind of crumbs that are attractive to eat. And you don't have to worry about them. Okay, that pretty much is cleaning. Any specific questions about cleaning? Yes?
If you have an office that you're going to walk out of the market, cleaning crew or security might go into it.
And in your office, you have chametz there?
Yeah, in the office, there could be
crumbs. No, crumbs, or you have stored chametz there?
I could remove stored chametz.
Okay. So the stored chametz you can put in a place and close it off, right, private, and sell it with your chametz, put the address there. Bedikas chametz, if you eat in the office, and you're not, if you're there at night, but not the night before Pesach, you should make a bedikas chametz in your office the night before you're leaving, without a bracha. Just search around for any chametz that may have fallen on the floor if you eat there. If you can't do that, you can do it in the daytime. before you leave with the windows open so it's very light. Search around any chametz, and if you find any chametz, bring it home with you so you can burn it with your chametz with the bedika that you make the night before. And anything that you're storing there, you should close up and make inaccessible to the people who come in. It's your private things, and sell it with your chametz. Yeah.
I read recently that you can do some of the checking at your house before the actual time in bracha, as long as you've left some parts of your house to check with the bracha. And I'm just thinking about the car and how difficult it would be to check at night. Are there things that we can check beforehand?
Yes and no. You can. What we do is we clean the house. They used to have small houses or whatever, and everything they did was a night of bedikas chametz. We clean the house before, and the bedikas chametz is just like a safety check. Okay. However, since that's the mitzvah, what you read is not 100% the way it should be. What you have to do is the following. Clean the house well, and bedikas chametz then you can do quickly, just to make sure that there's nothing there. You don't have to mamish spend time going through every drawer, whatever. You open the drawer and see that you cleaned it well, that you're checking up on the cleaning that you did, but not to rely on the fact that you're doing this nights before or days before and don't have to check those rooms at all. You still have to check those rooms, but just minimally, right, to be yotze the mitzvah, and you're basically checking that the cleaning that you did before then was effective. But you're still checking, and that's the mitzvah bedikas chametz. So you can't not check rooms that you're going to be in. Okay, if you're closing off the room completely, you don't have to do any checking in those rooms. If you're closing up cabinets, you don't have to check those cabinets.
But I can have my husband check the car earlier in the day, then he can check it again after.
At night, right, at night, just to go through it and look quickly on the floor and the things, see if there's no chametz.
It'll be too dark for him to do a real...
You can use it. Well, we get to the biggest chametz, use a flashlight. So, they do make those things these days, and they can use a flashlight. What's it called? Yeah.
What's the chiv doing that you go on the standard?
Then it depends. If you eat in shul, right?
Candy,
most of the candies are not chametz. At worst, they're kidneys. At worst. But if your kids bring wafers to school, shul, or sandwiches, right, or gourmet meals or whatever, I don't know what people bring to shul. So then you have to make, then it's a place, you're machnisim bo chametz, you have to make bedikas chametz on it. And if people know that they have things in their private spenders or whatever, they should clean them out before Pesach and not to rely on the fact that somebody's going to clean. They're going to clean the shul just in general for the floors, the whatever, but not going to go through everybody's personal spender. Okay. Yeah.
I never heard this expression. If the food is not attractive to you. It's not
attractive to eat. In other words, it's not edible. But nobody's going to eat that. It's just...
There's nobody going to eat hand sanitizer, and yet kids are getting high on hand sanitizer. So back for its limits. No?
I don't know. I mean, that's nothing to do with this. We're talking about... It's not... If it's not edible, then it's not chametz. If it's edible, and it's a considerable amount that people could eat or drink or whatever, then you have to get rid of it. If it's crumbs... Small amounts that nobody's going to... The idea is, there's two reasons why you have to get rid of the chametz. One is that you shouldn't own it, but small amounts like that, you don't own anyway. They're hefker. The second reason is you shouldn't come to eat it. So if it's something that ownership is not the problem. The problem is only you may come to eat it, so then if it's such small amounts that... and it's not attractive to eat, so the chances that you'll eat it are very slim, then there's no reason to have to clean it out.
Like shampoo
we'll get to. Okay. That's products. Okay. Any other questions on cleaning? Okay. Next, kashering. Okay. For the most part, things that you're going to kasher, especially things that you're going to kasher with hagala, that you're going to bring to Rav Aaron and Eli Hazen on when is it?
Thursday.
On Thursday. Thursday before Pesach. Or you can go to Kiryat Sefer. They have plenty of places kashering. However, you should only bring it to a place where there is somebody who knows the halachas of Hagala. not just a bunch of kids with rubber gloves that want to make some money and have no idea what they're doing except the fact that they're putting these things into boiling water. Somebody who knows what you can kosher and what you can't kosher and what are problems, what are not problems, if the thing is clean or not. So here, Rav Aaron will be there, and he knows the halachas, and he will discern whether the things can be kashered or not, and if they're kashered properly. If you go to Kiryat Sefer, there are plenty of places there, I'm sure, where people are who know the halachas are in charge there and supervising. But if it's just some kid decided, you know, to decide to have a nice business and got himself a barrel and hot water and a blowtorch, I wouldn't go to those places. Unless you know the halachas and stand there and supervise and know exactly what you're doing or what's being done. Okay, in any case, for the most part, you should not use the thing that's being kosher for 24 hours with hot things. You can use it, but not with hot things. It shouldn't, what's it called, and it should be cleaned. It doesn't have to be clean where spots and stains are taken off, but something that has some mamoshes to it, something that has it's not just a stain on the metal or whatever else it is you're kashering, but it's something that has some substance to it that has to be taken off, including rust also. If it's just a rusty color, it's not a problem, but if it's rust that you can feel and take off, the rust has to be taken off also. If something is going to be kashered with libun, you're going to blowtorch it, you don't have to leave it for 24 hours and you don't have to clean it. The blowtorch will accomplish that too. Something that is with libun kal, meaning you're not going to blowtorch it, you're going to leave it on the highest heat that it reached. There it's shaila whether you have to leave it 24 hours, better to leave it 24 hours. So ovens, when we get to them, should be left 24 hours without using them for chametz before you kasher them. Okay, if you're going to kasher them. Okay, let's get to the easy things first. Tables, countertops, okay. You do not have to kasher them, but you have to cover them. Many of them are not kasherable if they're made of materials that aren't kasherable. And the custom is anyway to cover them, even if you do kasher them. And if you don't kasher them and cover them, it's also acceptable. So why waste your time koshering them when anyway you're going to cover them? So cover them with something, not just some thin aluminum foil, but either heavy-duty aluminum foil or a few layers of aluminum foil that won't, some kind of linoleum or whatever that will stay for the whole Pesach, not fall apart, not tear, and do whatever you have to do on top of that covering, and then you don't have to kosher. You should clean the contours well, clean them with something that is cleaning fluid or whatever, so if there's anything there it becomes not edible, and but you don't have to start pouring boiling water over it or whatever, just cover it. Okay. The same thing goes with your table. The table has a foam kind of thing usually that goes between the tablecloth and the table. That usually is filthy. That you should change and have one for Pesach. Tablecloths you can clean, the regular ones, except for plastic tablecloths, can't just be cleaned for Pesach. You have to get new ones. Terelin tablecloths or a shayla, you should get new ones for Pesach also. They're not mamish plastic, but they're not mamish bad either. But regular material tablecloths can be washed, and better in hot water and with soap or detergent or whatever, and then you can use them for Pesach. The tables should be covered with a heavy plastic or heavy aluminum foil, whatever, and then the tablecloth put on top of that, and that the covering shouldn't be taken off the whole Pesach. The tablecloth you can change, but the covering that's on the table itself remains there the whole Pesach. Okay. Next, the stovetop. This is the first year I had in Matityahu, well, not really in Matityahu, in Kashmonoyim, but question about stovetops that aren't the regular ones. There's two kinds of stovetops that existed here up until I had the Shaila. They were gas stovetops with burners and a tripod where the pots sit on, or electric ones with spiral things that you turn on and they get red hot. Okay, if you leave them on the highest. Those are very easy to kosher. The tripods by the gas are hard to make a libun on. They need libun. So either you have to blowtorch them, or you have to get them red hot. And somebody told me they never get red hot. They do if you turn off the lights and it's pitch black. You'll see they get red. But the problem is that they only get red where the flame is mamish, and not past that. So what you have to do is move it around in the flame, and it's not a big flame, so it takes a long time. The best thing is either to put them in a self-cleaning oven and kosher them when somebody or you kosher your self-cleaning oven. We're now talking about the tripod that the pots sit on above the gas. The place where the gas comes from should just be cleaned well and leave the flame on for a while just to burn out any chametz that may have fallen into there. That does not come in contact with the pots at all. And the area, the drip pan, should either be changed for Pesach. There's a place underneath where you have a disposable or a permanent thing. You can change either of them. Those should be changed for Pesach, the drip pan or whatever that was used the whole year. And the rest of the stovetop, which is usually the enamel between the burners, should be covered with either a few layers of aluminum foil or heavy-duty aluminum foil. The back that pots may come into contact with should also be covered. And if you have a hood, it should be cleaned well and covered. That's gas stovetops. Electric ones, all you have to do is leave on the electric burners till they get red hot. If nothing else has to be done. And if there's a drip pan underneath, same thing, change it or use a disposable one. Or if you can't do either of that, same thing goes with the gas, clean it well and cover it with aluminum foil. And the area between the burners is covered with aluminum foil. Somebody asked me about a glass top stovetop. More modern ovens, right, have they don't have real burners. They have hot spots, and it's all glass or halogen or some other kind of thing.
Heat induction.
Whatever it is, it's a big shaila whether you can kosher that for Pesach. If anybody here has the shaila, talk to me personally. I have to know exactly what it looks like. There's all different kinds. Some of them, b'di'evid, you could kosher, and covering them is not a good idea because they usually crack the glass, at least minimally. So I don't want to be blamed for cracking your glass oven, right? And I don't want you to crack the glass either. And if you have it, I don't think anybody here has those ovens, do they? For new people? Okay.
I have glass, but it's something
induction. But it's?
Not induction.
Oh, okay. Yeah, whatever. If you have glass, ask the Shaila also. But ask the Shaila how, if you can kosher glass altogether. But in any case, and how. But if you don't have that, the normal ones that we had are the electric and the gas, and that we covered. Next. Oven. Okay. The inside of the oven. Like I say every year, and now there's plenty of time to still do it, it's preferable to get an oven insert, or it's too preferable first to get a separate oven for Pesach. That's the most preferable. Put it away. It doesn't have to be a big oven. It's only for 7 days. And get an oven for Pesach, if you can't afford that, okay, which is possible. Then the best thing to do is to get an oven insert. A box that's closed on all sides fits into the oven, and measure your oven on the inner measurements so it does fit into the oven. I learned that from unfortunate experience of having somebody measure it from the outer measurements, and then it didn't fit in after until we sledgehammered it and made it and then it didn't work too good. So in any case, so measure it from the inside, give it even a little leeway so you can put it in and out. It usually comes with its own racks. So you have new racks for Pesach. And that's the ideal. It's the ideal kashrus-wise. My wife tells me it's not the ideal baking-wise, because you can't ever know what temperature is in that little box. It has nothing to do with the thermostat, and it usually doesn't bake or cook what you want to be done. Right? Right. So therefore, it's great kashrus-wise, but it's not too good cooking-wise. Therefore, that's the second possibility. If you can't do either of those things, you can't get an oven insert. If you have a self-cleaning oven, then all you have to do is self-clean it with the racks inside, with anybody else's things that they need libun kal on, that doesn't need a blowtorch but needs to have to be burnt. You can put them into the self-cleaning oven. If you have to put it through a second thing, because sometimes the gas pressure here is not strong enough, so you need to do it twice. After that, it's okay, unless there's something wrong with your oven. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, so then, and you don't want to get another oven, and you don't want to get, there's also this thing that's called a wonder oven that goes on top of the stove, and it acts like an oven. That's what they used to have here years and years ago. I don't even know if they sell them anymore. But in any case, that's also a possibility. But that's also a possibility. If you don't want to do any of that and you want to kasher your oven, so b'dieved, you can kasher your oven in the following way. The racks have to be blowtorched, and if you blowtorch them, they're going to get a little bit warped. A little bit, but it doesn't really make a difference unless you're very aesthetic. Doesn't hurt anything. That they're a little crooked, the things in the rack. What? They taste the same. You can claim that you baked it in an interesting shape. In any case, if that bothers you, then you should put them into a self-cleaning oven. Then they don't get warped. But if they get blowtorched, do not blame the people who are blowtorching them that they come out warped or discolored, because they're for sure going to become warped and discolored. I guarantee it. Okay, unless they didn't do it right. But if they turned on the blowtorch and put it on the thing, that's what's going to happen. That's the racks. You can't use the same racks without blowtorching them or putting them in a self-cleaning oven. Even though there are opinions that say you can, you can't. The oven walls should be cleaned with a good oven cleaner, Easy Off, something like that, whatever they use over here. And the oven shouldn't be used for 24 hours, preferably. And then leave it on the highest heat that it goes on, and then you kasher it. You can't kasher the broiler rack. That has to be put away with your chametz, and shouldn't use the broiler. Unless you get a new rack, but then you can kasher it by turning it on the highest heat too, the sides. But the broiler rack itself can't be kashered. And that, till it reaches the highest heat that it could be, preferably for the longest time that you ever use the oven. So that could be a few hours. What else? That's ovens. That applies to gas ovens and electric ovens. Yeah.
So since my husband got me a Pesach oven, that means that I can just close the oven door, tape it, and
that's all.
Clean it?
That's right. Okay. Okay, next. Wait, no questions yet. We didn't finish this topic yet. Or the issue, or the subject. What's it called? Microwave ovens. I do not suggest that you kosher microwave ovens. Again, they are extremely inexpensive, and you can buy one for Pesach. The koshering them is very questionable. Many of them are plastic insides, which probably you can't kosher. And even if they're not plastic, there's enough parts there that are plastic that are problematic. Cleaning them properly around the fan and the is problematic. Theoretically, you can clean them well, and cover them, not with aluminum foil, but with kalkar, whatever it's called, those things that the kids make their projects with.
Whatever.
I did that 1 year. I don't suggest you do that either. The you probably could do it out of microwave for 7 days, or invest in a microwave that will last you for years, and they're not that expensive. Again, everybody has different ideas what's expensive or not expensive. If you must kosher a microwave, ask me privately. But I strongly suggest you don't kosher microwaves. Okay. Next. The blech, Shabbos blech. Get another one for Pesach. Or blowtorch it, and I guarantee you, if you're worried about cakes that look a little topsy-turvy, I'll show you what a blech looks like after you blowtorch it. Okay. Besides the fact that it's warped, it inevitably is going to rust during the year, because you took off whatever coating they have on there. The blechs don't rust. When you blowtorch it, you take off that coating, and within weeks after Pesach, it's going to be rusty. So a blech, invest in a Pesach Dika blech. Okay, a plata. Plata, clean well, leave it on to the highest heat till it gets hot, and cover it. Cover it with aluminum foil, a few layers, or a heavy-duty aluminum foil, and you can use the same plata you use the whole year. As long as it's been cleaned, turned on to the highest heat, and covered. Okay.
But
preferably yes. Okay. Next, sinks. So for those people who have porcelain sinks, you can't kosher them. What you have to do is clean them out well, and the filter in the spigot preferably should be changed for Pesach. Pour boiling water that you boil up on the stove over the spigot. Pour some kind of drain cleaner down the drain, so anything that's in there that backs up is totally inedible, except for what you use on Pesach, which is Pesach thick. But anything that's been in there from before is rendered inedible. Because it's food. It's what's it called? A lot of times it's still edible food, and it's going to make if it comes up with hot water, and they make the same trafe again. It's not nifsel me'achilas kelev, right? And it's a significant amount could be. Right? So here we're not talking about just having to get rid of it because maybe you'll come to eat it. Here we're talking about it coming in contact with your food, coming in contact with your dishes or whatever. That's the problem. So, and get an oven, a sink insert that's raised above the bottom of the sink, so it doesn't come in contact with the bottom of the sink, and it's raised a little bit up, and wash all your dishes in that insert. The insert comes with something that closes it so you can fill it with water, and open the bottom so you can drain the water out. Or if it doesn't come with that, you can pour the water out, or whatever, and wash all your dishes inside that plastic rubber insert. If you have a stainless steel sink, you can kosher it. It has to be cleaned well, not used for hot water within 24 hours. You have to boil water and pour it. Every area of the sink has to have the boiled water poured directly on it. So from one pot you can get to a good area of the sink, including the areas around that are part of the stainless steel sink and the spigot and down the drain. And here you also change the filter, and you can then kosher like that. It has to be cleaned or whatever. It is preferable, this is the way that I do it, and I haven't yet ruined the sink, even though it gets a little discolored, is to first use a blowtorch lightly on the sink, which is the whole area of the stainless steel sink. It warps it a little bit, but only a little bit, and discolors it only a little bit. Okay. The and that may be enough to kosher it altogether, because it comes yatzel lettuce bo. What's it called? Maybe the place of Hagola, because it's very hard to make sure that you get the boiling water on every area directly, and then pour the boiling water, and that's more ideal. But if you can only do the boiling water, or you can only use the blowtorch, if you only use the blowtorch, you have to be careful to make sure that you get every area, and that may really ruin your sink. So I suggest if you're going to do it, do both together. And then the sink doesn't have to be covered, even though I saw today somebody holds it. Even if you do all that, you still have to cover the sink. But I can't figure out why, and that's probably just some kind of minig and chumra, whatever. There's no reason to cover the sink if you do that. Also, the area behind the sink and the counters where pots splash and may come in contact directly with that area should be covered with something that's substantial. It's not going to fall apart during Pesach. Okay, refrigerators and freezers. Refrigerators and freezers. Just have to be cleaned. If there's areas you can't get to, but you can pour bleach down them or whatever instead of sitting there with toothpicks and ear cleaners, whatever they're called. Q-tips. What's it called? You don't really have to do that. Right? If those the places... probably not going to come in contact with food at all. You can pour some bleach down them and finish it like that. And the regular thing, just clean off good with a good detergent. You don't have to cover the shelves. Usually things are put into refrigerators and freezers in packages, right? Not directly hot food onto the shelves or whatever. If you want to be machmer, you can cover the shelves. Like we say every year, you have to make sure that the air can circulate. Don't put in covering, even plastic covering that has no air holes in them, because you'll kill your motor of your refrigerator, and it won't work either, because the air won't circulate. So in any case, so that's, but if you make two big holes, then there's no purpose of covering it all together, so you might as well not cover it. That's refrigerators, freezers. And that's pretty much everything. People don't have garbage compactors here that I know of. Anything else in their kitchen? That hot water things on the sink. Anybody has those things privately? Reach a new era in Matityahu if that's the case. But so far I haven't had any shilas about those things. So since they don't exist, why confuse myself or other people about them? But if you have those things, ask a shila. Special like hot water things that boil up water for drinking or whatever on your sink, garbage compactors. What other things could you possibly have in a modern kitchen that we never heard of?
Dishwashers.
I have a dishwasher. She just has to wash her hands. The if you have a mechanical one. Ask privately about dishwashers if you have one. They're very difficult to kosher, and you usually have to buy separate racks, which cost probably as much as buying a new dishwasher.
All these people have convection ovens that have a fan.
Convection ovens that have a fan. You can kosher again. L'chatchila, you should put an insert. If you're going to kosher it, you can kosher it with Libun Kal the same way. You turn it on until it gets hot. And it'll kosher the fan too. Just have to make sure you can clean it out good. Before you kosher it, you have to clean it out. Okay, finish that topic. Yeah.
Boiling water to pour in the sink. It has to remain boiling while I'm doing that.
So, yes and no. Yeah, it in certain cases, right, some people hold that they have to have burning metal there, so you pour it over the burning metal. You don't really have to do that. If the water is boiling and it doesn't hit anything else before it hits that part of the sink, that's good enough.
So by the time I got a fire water, I use this a big water chest,
right?
And unless it's plugged in, when you're pouring it, so it'll cool down by the time you get to the whole sink.
So then you have to do part of it and then boil up water again and do the other part. What?
Keep it plugged in while you're doing it.
Or keep it plugged in while you're doing it, just don't get electrocuted.
Can I use this?
Yeah, if you are going to get electrocuted, try to do it before you clean everything else so you don't waste the time.
If I'm using a hot water in the service tank, can I use one that I put
collards up of? I have
a hot water and I use it.
Right.
Sometimes
with a hollow top. Oh, okay, but we'll get to that. I forgot about that. Okay, what is that? So if you're kashering with boil-up water, or you can use a thing that boils up water with electricity, and if you have a long cord, you can keep it plugged in while you pour it out. If that's not possible and it does cool off, then you should heat up metal, put it in different places in the sink, so when you pour the water, it'll reboil on that hot metal on the sink itself. Or if you do what I did, do with the sink, and you use a blowtorch, so the metal is hot. When you pour the water, it boils again on the metal because the metal is hot, and that's even better. Shabbos urn. If you have never washed it with chametz, and you don't put your Shabbos challahs or any other things on top of it that are chametz, and have you only used it for tea, coffee? You haven't used it for soups, where the water goes directly into the soup from the urn, which for Pesach may be a problem, and the soup is chametz could be, right? There could be chametz ingredients in the soup. None of those things you've done. You haven't cleaned it with chametz. You've segregated it. It's not in the place where chametz splashes on it. It's not. You didn't put chametz on it, or put the water directly into chametz, and then you can clean it off well. And if you want to be extra careful, fill it up, boil the water in it, let it go through the spigot, and you can use it for Pesach. If any of those other things exist, get another one for Pesach. Put it away.
The question is to use it to put boiling water.
Yeah, if the things that you use to kasher do not have to be Pesach, they can probably should better not be Pesach, things you can use on Pesach, because you have to kasher them again. They should be chametz sticker things that you haven't used for 24 hours that are clean. It doesn't make a difference if they're milchik, fleishik, whatever. 24 hours you haven't used it, you can use it now to kasher with.
That's for agol.
Agol, yeah.
If you're pouring out onto a sink.
What?
If you're pouring the water out onto a sink.
Same thing. That's agol. That's agol. Right, you're using water that's from a kli that wasn't used for 24 hours, and there's no problem. You can kasher with that water.
So, in terms of the drain thinner, if you use bleach, it's the same thing as drain thinner. It's no.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and if you have a porcelain sink, you don't have to line the porcelain, even though you don't need an insert.
No. If you use a plastic, use the plastic, clean the sink well with some kind of. And then usually nothing is going to come in contact with the sink. If you have the plastic thing, right, that's going to possibly be a shiloh.
If the water collects on the bottom, it doesn't go down well enough and it kind of backs up into the plastic sink, is that a big problem? If you were going through the bleach drain cleaner and clean
yeah, up, probably it's not going to be a problem.
It's not a problem.
No. Yeah.
The 24 hours for not using the oven before you kosher it, is that before it's clean or after it's clean?
It doesn't make a difference. As long as you don't turn it on when you clean it. Sometimes these oven cleaners, they tell you to turn it on so it gets hot with the thing. Then it should be 24 hours after you clean it. I hear.
The
question was a table with leaves that you're not going to leave open the whole Pesach. So it's impractical to cover it and then put a tablecloth on because you're going to have to take the covering off. So when you calve coverings made to fit it with the leaves, without the leaves. And for the few minutes that you take off the covering during Pesach, is nishkafelos. But just recover it before you use it again.
Something
on the store
is called it's like a steam cleaner.
A what?
It's a steam cleaner.
Yeah.
Could you do the Akashos a metal thing for that?
If Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that you can kasher with steam like Hagola on the condition that the steam condenses hot on the walls of the thing. Now, I don't know how these steamers work. Okay? If they're that hot, that when you the steam hits the...
It can't stay hot. Once it touches the stainless steel, it can't be that hot.
It won't stay boiling? Then you can't kasher with that. It has to condense on the thing that it's boiling when it's condensed. And as the water itself, when it becomes water again and not steam, is boiling hot.
Once the steam touches the stainless steel, it's going to cool off immediately.
Yeah, but if you keep it there, if you keep it there for a few minutes, it'll get hot. And, no.
It touches when it's hot.
What?
Pour boiling water onto the sink, it's not going to cool off.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing. This is not water. So it never was boiled. It was steam.
You, water,
you can't kasher with steam. You kasher with water.
You're going to almost get burned on your hand. And if that is the steam thing, you touch it, it's cool right away.
But the steam already, it's only going to condense once it hits the metal.
Right.
But it's so then, cool. But then once it hits the metal, so that's what cools it off.
The metal will never get hot. The metal of the sink will not get hot with the steam.
But you know, I don't know if you... Because the metal has to get hot if the steam is steam. It only condenses once it hits the metal.
Okay, it depends on the metzias. But that's what it has to be. It has to be that when it becomes water, it's still boiling hot. If it's not, then you can't kasher with it. You clean your house with it, I think. That's what they say. But kashering, it's not good unless it... See, in factories, they do have steam things, but they're much, much different than these home things. They're with tremendous pressure. And there it's possible to kasher big, gigantic urns, which are impossible to fill up and boil or whatever. But there they can kasher with steam. But they're completely different. They're really high pressure things that are very dangerous to use unless you know what you're doing. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Vinegar,
hummus? No. I mean, you put it in your sink with other hummus sticky dishes and wash it.
No. But if I clean out the urn with vinegar?
Vinegar here in Eretz Israel is probably not hummus. It's all cider vinegar. In America, they have... What? Or synthetic vinegar. But in the States... A lot of vinegar is grain vinegar, which could be mamish chametz. Here, most vinegar is not grain vinegar. It's either synthetic or it's cider or something like that.
So I can just make it out.
Yeah, that doesn't make it chametz stick, no. Okay, any other questions about whatever we're talking about now?
I have a question.
Who?
I have a question. I'm not sure what category it goes in.
Okay, so wait till we get to all the categories and then...
But then I'll miss my opportunity to go here.
Okay. So ask it now.
Okay. I have access to a second refrigerator this year. I would like to take one of the vegetable bins, put chumet stuff in it, seal it all up, and close it. Can I use that refrigerator? Understand?
I understand. What are you going to put in there?
Soy sauce, mustard from America, and I don't know, whatever else there is. Condiments, things like that.
Soy sauce is not chametz. What?
This is kind of wheat.
Soy sauce?
Yeah.
Oh, soy sauce may be chametz. Okay. That's wheat sauce.
I know people would have a refrigerator that they close off, and that's where the hummus thing stays. I've never ever done such a thing, but I'd like to
make it. Usually we say the following, that if you want to keep things in your refrigerator or freezer, that are not Pesach Dik,
right,
but they're not chametz. They're kidneys. They're things that were around chametz, and you can't use them for Pesach, but you want to save them, meats and things like that. They're not mamish chametz. Then you can wrap them up, put them on a shelf, close it, or whatever. But real chametz, it's not segregated enough to do that. If you're going to use that freezer, and on one shelf you have this, and on one shelf you have something covered. Here's a little bit different, because it's a completely different bin,
right,
that you can close off completely,
yeah,
and not use it at all.
Right.
If you can, then it's like a cabinet where you're closing off one area where you don't have to, it doesn't have access to that from the other areas altogether. If you can segregate it, tape it up, that you know for sure you won't open it, in other words, it would be difficult to open,
okay,
then it shouldn't be different than any other cabinet that you can segregate a whole area. That should be enough.
Okay. What would I consider like my peanut butter? Because it's clearly not chametz, but it's very likely to have crumbs in it.
So that's the kind of thing that you can put away. If you put it away, sell it with your chametz. It has to be put, though, in a place where you're not going to have access to it. Okay, behind a mechitza, in a cupboard that you're closing up completely. That's you sell it with your chametz, that's all. Okay. Yeah, next. Anything. Okay, next. Cosmetics, deodorant. Solid cosmetics, except for lipstick. Because lipstick people mamash eat. You know, you swallow it or whatever, even though it's not made for eating, but you know, you put your lips together or whatever, and especially flavored lipsticks you shouldn't use. Regular lipstick, you should get a new one for Pesach. If it's not flavored, you can use any one. There are whole lists of okay ones. Try to get one of those anyway. What difference does it make? If you're using an old one, shave off the top of the part that came in contact with your lips before Pesach, and use only the next layer. Mascara, all kinds of solid cream, makeup, even if it has alcohol in it, is okay to use on Pesach. The problems are the only ones that are liquid. So stick deodorants, cream deodorants, if there's such a thing, are okay. Liquid ones, if they have denatured alcohol, you have to know that the denatured alcohol is not chametz. And there's lists. Most of these things are from America. And there's lists of which ones are okay. Most of the Right Guard, those kind of things are okay. So if you have things like that, give me a list and I'll get back to you. And go through all the things. But there's a lot of them that are okay. Plastic plates, paper plates. I don't think they have paper plates anymore. They don't. A paper plate should have a hechsher if you can use them for hot things, because they have starch in them, many of them. It's probably cornstarch, not chametz mamish, but the lemaisa, if you can get with a hechsher, get with a hechsher. But plastic plates, styrofoam things don't need any hechsher. Yeah, that's also okay. Yeah. Pet foods. If you have pets, fish, cats,
goats.
I was going to say most people don't have pets like that, but I take that back.
Most people don't have pets like that.
You have to know that they don't have chametz in them, and for the whole year you have to know they don't have basar b'cholov in them. Okay, so that you have to check. Baby wipes. All of them are okay if they don't have alcohol. The ones that say alcohol-free are okay to use. Also, some of them have oatmeal in them. That way the baby can eat while you're washing him, I guess. I don't know if that's the right way to put oatmeal in baby wipes for. If they have oatmeal in them, it's also not good. But if they don't have alcohol or oatmeal, then they're okay.
Any kind of alcohol?
No, you got to have to check and see what the alcohol is. Right. If they're alcohol-free, then there's no problem. If they have alcohol, then you have to check to see what kind of alcohol. Yeah, and we usually can't find out.
Baby powder?
Baby powder's okay.
But
it's cornstarch, you can, as long as you don't eat it,
okay.
It's okay.
And can we eat the eggs the chickens lay?
The eggs, usually we eat eggs the chickens lay. I don't know.
What did you say?
I said usually we eat eggs the chickens lay, and I don't know what other eggs we eat. What? Who?
The ones that our chickens lay. We get sometimes 8 or 9 eggs a day.
You have roosters around?
Sure.
And you can eat them, but you have to check them very. Okay, and then your eggs are real, if you find blood spots, they're, you have to throw away the egg. If you use an egg, blood with an egg spot, an egg with a blood spot like that, it's a big Shiloh. Okay. Otherwise, yeah. Why are your chickens different than any other? Manish Tama, your chickens from other chickens.
They come into the
beginning of next week, so it should already be.
You're changing their feed?
We're changing their feed.
Okay, really?
It's our feed next week.
Okay. So, they haven't eaten chametz on Pesach. The eggs are for sure okay. Okay? If there's chametz around from before, then wash the eggs off. Preferably, you should use the eggs that are laid before Pesach. But b'di'evad, if you have to use the eggs on Pesach, it's also okay. Everybody's like that. It's better to buy eggs that were laid before Pesach, and it's a chumrah. But but I think all the eggs that are sold are eggs that were laid before. You can't buy eggs on Pesach that were laid on Pesach unless you have them in your yard. Okay. Okay. Kidneys.
Any issue with hand cream?
What?
Any issue with hand creams? Or
hand creams are all okay.
Oils like baby oils
used on Shabbos? Baby oils. Shabbos is a different story. Shabbos, anything that is less thick than the consistency of olive oil is okay to use.
Including olive oil?
Kidneys. Okay, the regular kidneys obviously can't eat. Somebody is sick, they can use kidneys. Little children can use kidneys.
How little?
Anything under bar and bas mitzvah who really need it because of their diet. They don't need it, then only little children, mamish. What is kidneys? I mean, what? So the regular things we all know what are. One of the problem ones, quinoa. Quinoa, if you don't have a diet problem or any kind of reason medically why you can't eat matzah or whatever and you need that quinoa medically, or because you're on a diet and there's nothing else, whatever it may be, then you can be somech on, but you can't buy just any quinoa. It has to have a hechsher for Pesach, and I don't know if that exists here. There's one or two brands in America that have a hechsher for Pesach. I don't know if you can get it here. If you can't get it here, you can't use quinoa. Not because of kidneys, because it may be chametz. It's grown near chametz. It's processed, could be with chametz. It has to have a hechsher for Pesach. If it has a hechsher for Pesach, if you're a Sephardi, you surely can use it. If you're not a Sephardi, if there's some medical diet reason, then you can be somach on the people saying it's not kidneys. And if it's there's no good reason, then you should consider it kidneys. It's a big machlokas, whether it's kidneys or not. Cottonseed oil. In America, every hechsher uses cottonseed oil. Here in Eretz Yisrael, it's not minig Eretz Yisrael not to use it. But there are definitely poskim in Eretz Yisrael who hold that you can't use it. But it's totally in minig. The minig here is to use it. However, if you're going to be inviting people, Israelis, who don't use it, understand that you may have problems. So you can use cottonseed oil, as long as you're not affecting anybody who doesn't use it. But we hold it's okay to use. Canola oil you can't use. Canola oil is kidneys. Okay, any question about kidneys? Yeah.
Again, I don't know. The only dried fruit that I've seen so far
has a triangle cake from America.
It's a worthless extra.
Can't
even eat the package. Yeah.
Can we go over to the Barones and eat off their plates even though they ate rice?
Oh, they're smart. Okay. Yeah, you can eat from their pots, even if they cooked in those pots within 24 hours, as long as they're not serving you rice.
Or canola oil.
Or canola, or anything else that's kidney, that's all. Okay, matzah products. I strongly suggest, and I can say that it's the minig here, like for sure for Tzibur things, not to use regular matzahs, machine matzahs, the whole Pesach, that aren't 18-minute matzahs. That means that the machine matzahs are made regular with a hechsher. They're not Mahadran matzahs for sure. The machines are cleaned out every few hours or whatever, or every day, and those are problematic. Can't say that they're not kosher, but they're surely not the Mahadran. 18-minute matzahs with a good hechsher, you can use for the whole Pesach. Unless you have a minig only to eat shmura matzah the whole Pesach. But 18-minute matzah, there's no such thing as 18-minute, what's it called, shmura matzah, because it's all 18-minute shmura matzah. So shmura matzah, it's automatically like that. But they sell matzah that's not shmura matzah, but it's 18-minute. The machines are cleaned out every 18 minutes. That you can use regular, and therefore products with matzah meal or whatever, matzah products that aren't 18-minute matzah, which is most of the OU things or whatever that have matzah meal in them, are problematic, even if you eat gebrochts. If you don't eat gebrochts, they're all a problem. But if you do eat gebrochts, so that's not the problem. The problem is that the matzah that's used in that is not 18-minute matzah, and it's not a good idea. It's a good idea not to use that. And for sure, for the tzibur here, we don't allow it. So,
OU does not use 18
minutes. What?
OU, you said, does not use
18 minutes. No, unless it says specifically. They're regular products, they're regular matzah. They're regular matzah is regular matzah, unless it says 18-minute matzah. You can't use that either. Okay. Egg matzah, unless it's for somebody who's sick or little children, shouldn't eat it on Pesach from the time that you're not allowed to eat chametz in the morning, Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat matzah or any products made with matzah meal that are baked. But products that are fried or cooked, you can eat Erev Pesach, like gefilte fish that may have some matzah meal in it, right? You can, as long as the matzah meal is what you can eat on Pesach, you can eat Erev Pesach too, yeah. Fried.
You could make matzo meal pancakes and eat them Erev Yom.
The fried, what fried means deep fried. But if it's only fried, no. Deep fried means like French fries. You make it like that. That's like cooking. Fried in a frying pan with a little bit of oil is more like baking, and that you shouldn't use. Okay, somebody asked me about women at the Seder. How much do they have to participate since they're a good time in the kitchen preparing to bring the meal? Women are responsible to say the Haggadah or hear the Haggadah said. They're responsible to drink Arba Kosos in the proper place, in the proper time, to eat matzah, morer. However, if a woman, she can say the Haggadah standing up. If she can hear it from another room, she's yotze with that. She listens. She can say it herself also. The most important parts to hear Kiddush, for sure you have to hear Kiddush, and drink the first kos. After that, the manishtana, should hear the four kashas, should hear avodim hayinu, and then mitchila of the avodizora hayavoseinu, those two paragraphs. And then Arami Ovid Avi and the Eser Makos, and then from Ram Gamliel Hayomer till you drink the second cup. Those are pretty crucial. If you can't even hear that, then as long as you heard Rabbi Gamliel HaYomer and you heard Kiddush and you, what's it called, after that you stayed till the second kos, and after that already you've, the meal is served or whatever, so it's not really nogeya how little you're at anyway. That's the minimum. But you can be yotze by hearing the Haggadah from another room. You can be yotze standing up. You can be yotze if you say it for yourself. But when it comes to drinking the kosos, you have to drink the kosos where the Haggadah says to drink them. Yeah.
You have to say or hear it in Hebrew?
No, you can hear it in any language you understand. And if you hear it in Hebrew and don't understand the Hebrew, that's a bigger problem. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that you say the Haggadah in a language that people understand, especially women who don't understand Hebrew. Okay. What? Magid, yeah. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You have to understand what you're saying, right?
And the parts of the Haggadah that are after the
Suda? After the Suda is Hallel, Chayiv and Hallel too. What's it called? There you're finished with the meal, so what are you doing in the kitchen? Ah, kids, yeah. Forgot about them. By that time, the kids are all asleep.
Maybe in your house.
The adults are asleep.
Right. Yeah.
If they're saying it in Hebrew and I don't understand, do I actually have the doctor say it out loud to myself, or can I read it in English?
No, you should not read it with your eyes. You should say it. You should say it loud enough for you to hear. Okay. That pretty much covers everything I wanted to cover. Anybody have any other questions? Hechsherim. Oh. Okay. The Hechsherim we use during the year are okay for Pesach, except that you have to make sure that if it says it has no kidneys, it really means it has no kidneys, and not that the Hechsher holds that those isn't kidneys. And the ones that could be a problem are Rav Machbud, the Sfardi Hechsherim. Even if it says no kidneys, may be that they are makel anyway in kidneys, so they hold that certain things aren't kidneys, and we hold they are. For instance, and this is the every year the same thing. Kidneys shenishtanu means things like sorbitol, things like I don't remember what they're called, but they're the preservatives in delicatessen. Those are what's it called? Many times kidneys, and even if they say they don't have kidneys, if they're Rav Machbud or which other one, they may be the OU from America may be problematic. The OU here in Israel is not a problem. They don't use kidney shenishtanu, and therefore you can use all the OU Israeli products except things that have matzah meal in them. Rav Machbud, which we use during the year, should be careful. Rav Rubin's Hechsher doesn't have a problem with that. Neither does the Chsam Sofer. Now, even though we don't usually use the Chsam Sofer lechatchila during the year, but any product that has a bedatz during the year, and it's taken off on Pesach, and the Chsam Sofer takes over, you can use on Pesach. That does not apply to something that has a bedatz the whole year, and the Beis Yosef takes over. Because there may be problems with kidneys. Yeah?
Two questions, I just want to be sure. So the delicatessen and the hot dogs, like Rav Machbud gives a hechsher, and there's this green sticker that says, Lo Chashash Kidneys. We can't rely on that.
No, you can use it after Pesach. I'm sure it has kidney shenishtanu in it.
Okay. And then the rest
I didn't say that. I meant to say, I'm pretty sure that that's the case. I never checked into it.
Okay.
But I'm 99% sure that's the case.
The other question is, Rav said something about OU products from the States.
Yeah, from the States, from what I understand, which I found out last year, that the OU in the States uses kidney shenishtanu. Now that's a big problem with things with citric acid, except that the OU last year, and I assume the same thing this year, only uses citric acid that's synthetic.
So that's okay.
So that's okay. What could be a problem? Things with sorbitol, aspartame may be a problem with OU Hechsherim from the States. Things here, in other words, with artificial sweeteners, you have to be careful.
Okay.
things here, they don't use those products.
Yeah. So, like mayonnaise, like the get the mayonnaise, it's OUP. Is that cotton?
It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
What about Diet RC and Diet Coke?
Diet RC and Diet Coke, if it's Rav Reuben, it doesn't say kosher. It has aspartame in it, or one of those things. And those are kitnish and ishtandu. Unless you need it because you have a medical reason why you're on a diet and you can't use regular sweeteners, then those kitnish sweeteners you can use because of medical reasons. But if you don't have a medical reason, you shouldn't use those sodas.
Sweet and low?
Sweet and low, I'm not sure. There is, what's it called? The sweet Splenda is not okay. Sweet and low, I'm not sure. It says kosher l'Pesach.
It comes from
Eretz Yisrael. Comes from Eretz Yisrael with a hechsher? If it doesn't have a hechsher, you surely can't use it. Yeah, 1 second. What's that? Sugar, sugar substitutes? Here, sugar substitutes. Geffen sweet and low was okay. Sweetie has a badatz. Sweet and light has a badatz. Xylitol has a hechsher from America. Equal, Splenda, and NutraSweet are not kosher for Pesach. They can't even be used by Svardim. Sweet and low. Geffen sweet and low powder has a hechsher for Pesach. Well, the Geffen products they have over here. Yeah.
Some made raisins with the triangle cake.
Not okay.
They're not okay.
No. The raisins have oils on them, and the hechsher is not a good hechsher. Something that needs a hechsher. Personally, I wouldn't use it for water, but something that needs a hechsher, and raisins need a hechsher because there's oils on them.
Do frozen, if you buy frozen meats or frozen chickens with reliable vegetarian, whatever, do they have to be Pesach?
Yes. The problem is with meats, these days have all different kinds of things injected in them, and some of them can be chametz, so it should be kosher Pesach, yeah. Used to be that frozen meat and things. Fish is not like that. Frozen fish, probably you can get right. So there's a good hechsher, yeah.
The frozen fish that comes from China, they soak it in all kinds of chemicals to have it absorb water.
That's to do with meat. If that's the case, then you got to get away with hechsher for Pesach.
Yeah, because
that's what they do with meat, too. They inject it with who knows what.
80% fish, 20% water has been soaked in some kind of water and chemical.
Okay, so then if it's mu'ubad, that's the, what's it called, then it's a problem. If it's pure meat, I don't doubt if they sell that. It's not without any injection of water in it or whatever.
Foil pans.
Who?
Foil pans.
Foil pans you can use anyone.
All
year round, yeah. The what?
The lids of...
Some foil pans have a cardboard lid. It's like a paper plate.
Ah, but that's not a foil. That's not foil, so that's a problem.
Sorry.
That's cardboard.
Foil on one side and it's white on the other side.
Cardboard.
And if you look on the packet, it says the lid is
no good. Ah, okay. That's no good. It has starch in it, probably. It's probably not chum, it's probably kidneys. I doubt if it's wheat starch. It's probably corn starch.
I was very proud that it's some sofa for Pesach. It doesn't have any other.
Same things the whole year, only worse. Because then you need really good hechsher, and we don't trust it during the year, surely not for Pesach. Yeah. Yeah.
Are both chasim sofa?
Same thing.
Both are okay?
Both are not okay by themselves. Both are okay if they take the place of a badatz.
I got the coffee beans for kosher Pesach that the Rabbanut of Haifa
coffee beans?
Whole beans. Plain coffee, whole beans.
It's okay. They're imported. There's not Shumas and Maisra's problem. It's they're okay.
Why would the OU in America do something where it would be so
because it's a big machlokus whether it's only kidneys, it's only a minik, and this is already, there's a lot of reliable poskim, well, it's okay. And for some products, that's all that's available in the market of raw materials. So their poskim hold that it's okay. In Israel, since the poskim here pretty much hold that it's not okay, so the OU Israel is machmer not to use those products. But in America, there's a lot of the hechsherim. I can't say a lot of the hechsherim. Some of the hechsherim do use it.
If you have a hechsher,
except for the chassidish ones, what?
If you have a hechsher on something that says something, but it has an OKP on it.
Yeah, since we use that hechsher, it should be okay. Yeah.
Not the same as the
even the OKP is okay also. I don't think they use kidney shenishtan. I don't think so. Again, it's very few things that are going to be a problem. It used to be a problem with citric acid. But citric acid, even the OU in America is okay. So there are very few things with artificial sweeteners that could be a problem.
But the Chassam Sofer doesn't use kidney shenishtan.
They don't.
So if it's OKP with the Chassam Sofer, it's okay.
Yeah.
If the OUP with the Chassam Sofer.
Right.